we're in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Brother Charles, would you get a page of notes for that gentleman sitting behind you? He's our speaker this morning, Brother McQuaid. He just came in. I can tell who he is because they're on the bottom. They're on the bottom there. We're in Revelation chapter 17, but we're dealing with Zechariah chapter 5. We got over most of page 23 last week, but we're beginning with Zechariah chapter 5 this morning. And in Zechariah 5, we're beginning at verse 5. It's very important, I think. Zechariah 5, verse 5. Here's a passage that I heard very little exposition on concerning Babylon, but I believe it is very important. Verse 5, then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see, what is this that goeth forth? And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance throughout all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted I up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, to build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Last Lord's Day, we spent most of the time showing that from Revelation 17 that the harlot is not the Roman Catholic Church as has been mentioned in many of the commentaries down through the years. And the reason for it is, I think, very plain. I think there are four interpretive keys that we're going to look at this morning that tell us that it's not the Roman Church. Now, I do believe that when God put man in the Garden of Eden, Babylon is on the Euphrates River. And if you know your map, the map of the Near East, there are other great cities on the Euphrates River as well. But Babylon was on the Euphrates River, and if you remember that there were four rivers went out of the land of Eden, out of the Garden of Eden. One of them was the Euphrates. Now, somewhere in that area was the Garden of Eden. I'm glad nobody knows where. But it was in that area, somewhere. And I believe that when God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that Satan established his kingdom not too far away. And there's a reason that I believe that. Because all the false religions of the world have flowed out of that particular area. And as we've studied through the Revelation, we found that the Euphrates River is mentioned time and time again. And I believe in the rebuilding, I believe that the city of Babylon is going to be rebuilt. And I do not believe that Babylon was ever destroyed according to the prophetic scriptures as they announce that it will be destroyed. And if you look on your pages of notes, you'll find in page 24 of our notes, there is a comparison and between the prophecies in Jeremiah chapter 50, 51, and 52, and how they compare with Revelation chapter 17 and 18. And we'll be looking at that in due time. We now look at Zechariah chapter 5. The visions that were given to Zechariah are very important. But this one about the ephah. And ephah was the best way probably you could state it would be a bushel basket. I don't know if you're acquainted with a bushel basket or not, but it probably was just a little larger than a bushel basket. And the picture here is a bushel basket with a woman inside and a talent of lead on the top of it. A talent of lead is anywhere from 120 pounds to 155 pounds. That was a talent. It varied according to where you were. The talent in Israel or a talent of the Rome or Greece, but anywhere from 120 pounds to 155 pounds. Now, that ephah with a woman inside is being carried and set on its own base in the land of Shinar. The land of Shinar is mentioned in Genesis chapter 11. It was a place where Nimrod built his kingdom in opposition to God. Genesis chapter 11. God came down to view the city and the tower, and man was scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth through the tongues that they couldn't understand each other. In other words, God divided the nations by language, and they couldn't understand one another. However, if this woman is going to be carried, which is wickedness, to the land of Babylon, and there set on its own base, it means that Satan's kingdom has moved down through the years, and it's going to be moved back to the land of Babylon. I believe that is what this passage is here teaching. Now, where was Satan's kingdom in the first century? Does the Word of God tell us? Yes, it does. To the church at Pergamos. God said to the church at Pergamos in Asia Minor, in Revelation chapter 2, the third church, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos. The third church, he said to her, I know where you dwell. You are dwelling where Satan's throne is. Satan's throne was in Pergamos in the first century. And I believe that Satan's throne moved westward. I believe it moved westward to Rome. And especially during the days of Constantine. I believe during the days of Constantine that Satan set up shop in Rome. There is no scriptural evidence from the historical facts of Constantine that he ever was converted. He saw a sign in the sky and he embraced Christianity. But there is no evidence that he was genuinely converted to Jesus Christ. No evidence at all. But we know that the system of Rome was built to what it became through the efforts of Constantine. Now, in Zechariah chapter 5, there's a time coming, I believe, or it might have already come, when Satan moves his kingdom back. It's going to move back, and it's going to be set on its own base. That base of Satan's kingdom was set, I believe, in a most remarkable way by that man Nimrod that you read about, who was a mighty hunter before the Lord, who ruled Shinar, and he ruled in a religious, political manner. And we have the result in Genesis chapter 11 where God came down to view the city and the tower, and of course, we know what the result was. But Babylon, I believe, is going to be rebuilt. Now, my sister, who lives in Vero Beach, Florida, when I studied this a few years ago, it must be 5 years ago or more, when I was very interested in Babylon, my sister and I were talking on the telephone. And because I never went to the movies that much. It was taboo when I was growing up. Christians don't go to movies. And I lived in that area of the country where nobody ever, who was a Christian, they would have been judged severely for going to a moving picture show. And hence, I don't know many of the older movie stars. And my sister didn't know what she was telling me. I didn't solicit the information. I didn't solicit it. But she travels in a different crowd than I do. She travels with the up and ups. And I'm going to have to ask my wife, who was that movie star? She had a daughter. Was it Judy Garland that had a daughter? No, not her. That I know. No, not that. This is, who was Judy Garland's daughter? Well, anyway, that's the one. That's the one, Liza Minnelli. Well, anyway, she had been in Vero Beach in Florida, and my daughter was there. And someone asked her where she's investing her money. And the answer was, I'm not investing it in America. I'm investing my money in Babylon, rebuilding of Babylon. My sister said that to me in the telephone. I almost dropped the telephone. This was long, this was before Hussein. This was before the Desert Storm. You see, and when she said, I had just been studying this at the time, and I was so amazed. And the person who told my sister personally was the lady who keeps the wardrobe of this woman. She tends and tends her wardrobe for her. You see, the Word of God is quite accurate. And I do believe, and I think we can prove it even from history, that Babylon is being rebuilt or is rebuilt. And there are a number of things in Revelation chapter 17 to keep in mind as we take a look, having taken a look here at Zechariah chapter 5. Now we're at E under 3 in parenthesis at the bottom of our paper of page 23. E in parenthesis. You see, the first thing you need to notice is the woman is sitting on the beast. In other words, that goes beyond the seven heads and includes the Antichrist and the kings that are aligned with him. The Antichrist is going to come, I believe, out of Western Europe, out of the alliance of nations that made up the old Roman Empire. I believe that because of what he's spoken in Daniel chapter 7 concerning the little horn of Daniel 7 and Daniel chapter 9 verses 26 and 27, where it speaks of the prince who is of the people that destroy the city of Jerusalem. And the city of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. Titus the Roman general, if you remember, AD 70. And the Antichrist is going to come out of that monstrosity of a beast in Daniel chapter 7. and also spoken of in Daniel 9. However, I want you to notice that the woman is sitting on the beast. In other words, the woman is going to control the beast. The person who sits on the beast is the Antichrist, is going to be controlled by this woman here, who is seen as one who prostitutes the blessings of God for earthly goods. Now notice F. If the seven hills are taken as a reference to Rome, that identification cannot be used to associate the harlot with Rome. The woman and the seven heads are distinct. The seven heads belong to the beast. The woman is a woman. And they're separated. The beast is one thing. The woman is another. Babylon is a woman. The Antichrist is the beast. We saw that when we studied chapter 13. Now, what is the control that the Antichrist is going to have? His control is going to be economic. The man who is able to control the economics of the world is going to be the boss. And the oil reserves of the world, the greater part of the oil reserves of the world, are in the Near East, in that area that Babylon controlled and will control. Now, that brings us to G, a mountain in Scripture. You see, in Revelation 17, it speaks of a mountain. You see, when you read this expression, verse 9, and here is a mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. In other words, a mountain in Scripture was often symbolic of a kingdom or a national power. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. We'll let Scripture speak for itself. Isaiah 2, verse 2 says, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. In other words, it's speaking of the kingdom of Messiah. Messiah's kingdom is going to be established, and it's going to be above all the kingdoms of the world. And he shall reign, as Handel says in his great Messiah. He shall reign forever and ever. You see, a mountain in Scripture is symbolic of a kingdom or national power. Notice Isaiah 41 in verse 15. Isaiah 41:15 says, behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth, that thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and thou shalt make the hills as chaff. What's he saying? He's saying kingdoms are going to be destroyed. He's using symbolic language and to speak of the destruction of kingdoms, and the kingdoms are called mountains. Jeremiah 51 and verse 25 in particular, here it's dealing with Babylon. Babylon that's going to be rebuilt. Jeremiah 51 and verse 25. Where we read, behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyest all the earth, and I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain. In other words, it has reference to the destruction of Babylon, and we know that it's going to be destroyed by judgment and fire. Now notice, H on your paper. The seven heads are identified as both mountains and kings. This is important. Now, there are four interpretive keys in Revelation chapter 17. And you can understand this chapter by the interpretation that is put upon it by the Lord Himself. Now, in order to show you that, go back to Revelation 17, and we'll read in beginning in verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? He wondered with great admiration when he saw this woman. And he said, the angel asked the question, why did you marvel? And then he said, I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. So God explains to John and to us the meaning of the passage. We really don't need to look further than Revelation chapter 17, although there are other prophecies, as we noticed this morning. Notice, the four interpretive keys are: A, Babylon is first and foremost a literal city that will dominate the world. Now, we have a statement that we use. The man who plays the fiddler calls a tune. You've all heard that statement already. And with the money that flows into Babylon, they're able to control. And you've heard this statement, money talks. It usually has one or two little words for me, goodbye. but money talks, and money has power. And when you watch the activity of man, you see, men want more money to get more power, to get more money, to get more power, and it's like a dog chasing its tail. However, Babylon is going to have the money. The Western world runs on oil, whether we like it or not. Remember, when you fly from here to Chicago, or from here to Pennsylvania, or somewhere else, if you get on an airplane, there are quite a few gallons of fuel go through that plane by the time you get to your destination. And it all comes out of Mother Earth. It all comes out of the earth. And when you drive your car from Lynchburg to Burlington, it takes a few gallons of gas. You see, it all comes out of Mother Earth. And the Western world runs on oil. If you go to a machine shop and you look at a milling machine, for instance, and you look at the way in which the table, the traverse on the table moves back and forth, that all moves in oil, for it's hydraulic. It works with hydraulic pressure. The Western world runs on oil. And we're living in a machine age. We can't do without oil. The United States will come to a screeching halt. It did a few years ago when Nixon was president, when the Shah of Iran just put up the price of oil. And we were sitting in line at the gas pumps. You see, the Western world runs on oil. Babylon is first and foremost a literal city that will dominate the earth. Notice the top of page 24. B, Babylon is characterized as a harlot that prostitutes her moral values for material luxury. That is a picture of what we have today. We in America and the world over are willing to prostitute moral values for material luxury. Notice C. The entire city is viewed as a mystery in that her future position, her relationship to the Antichrist, and ultimate destruction had not been known before John's vision. We dwelt on that word mystery last week. It has reference to that which is known by divine revelation. And God revealed the mystery that was hidden in him of the church through the writings of the Apostle Paul. So we read in the book of Ephesians, especially the third chapter. You don't find the church in the Old Testament. The church was made known through our Lord when he said, I will build my church. And then through the writings of the Apostle Paul, how that God takes a believing Jew and a believing Gentile and unites them into one body. Only God can do this. Only God can break down the barriers that man have built and make one new man. And that's what God has done. It's called a mystery. It has been hidden before, but now it's revealed. And until we have this revelation here, you see, it's now an open mystery. It has been revealed to us. And we see the position that Babylon is going to have in relation to the Antichrist. This wicked woman is going to ride his back. You see, but we also have the relationship that she's going to have for destruction back in chapter 14 and in chapter 16 of Revelation. We read, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. And when you get to chapter 19, there's rejoicing in heaven over the fall of Babylon. When we read chapter 18, we find that people are going to be crying on earth when Babylon is destroyed. You see, men of the world are going to be crying. The sailors are going to cry. You see, Babylon is going to be destroyed. Notice, D, this city will obtain control over seven nations, the Antichrist's growing empire, and eventually the whole earth. There are the four interpretive keys that are given to us in Revelation 17. However, now I want you to notice, and you're going to have to study this. We're going to go over this page of comparisons, and you can take this page and study the 50th and the Jeremiah 50 to 52. You study them. Now notice, the city is described. And you'll notice in Jeremiah 51, verse 7, Babylon has a golden cup in the has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord. Jeremiah 51, verse 7. When we get over to Revelation in the to the far right of the page, we read in chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, and in chapter 18, verse 6, I saw a woman having in her hand a gold cup or a golden cup. Now notice the second thing, dwelling on many waters. God speaking of to Jeremiah, he says, O you who dwell by many waters. In the book of Revelation, in the right hand column, he says, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. In other words, he's speaking of peoples. Now, you'll notice the third thing there, involved with the nations. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 51:7, the nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are going mad. The book of Revelation says those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Jeremiah 17, verse 2. Notice, the name is the same. The word which the Lord spoke concerning Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans. He isn't leaving us with an idea that Babylon could mean another land. I remember when I was a young Christian, we had an old brother in our assembly, the first man I ever had a funeral for. He said to me, Babel means confusion. Well, he was right on that. That's exactly what Genesis 11 says. He said the greatest area of confusion in this country is California. So California to me is Babylon. He likened Babylon to California. But God here says it's the land of the Chaldeans. So we have no doubt as to who he's talking about when he's talking about Babylon. And of course, in Revelation 17, verse 5, she is called Babylon the Great. Babylon the Great. But now I want you to notice the destruction of the city. The city destroyed. Jeremiah 50, verse 1 says, suddenly Babylon has fallen and is broken. In the book of Revelation, chapter 18, verse 8, we read, for this reason, in one day, her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine. I want you to notice the second thing, not only destroyed suddenly, but destroyed by fire. Jeremiah 51, verse 30, their dwelling places are set on fire. In Revelation 18, verse 8, we read, and the ten horns are the ten kings that make up the empire of the Antichrist. And the ten horns shall burn her with fire, and she shall be burned up with fire. Revelation 17, 16, and Revelation 18, verse 8. Notice, it is never to be inhabited. This is one of the problems that you have with both Isaiah chapters 13 and 14, and Jeremiah chapter 50, that because Babylon had never been destroyed, that it was never inhabited. In the destruction of the city of Babylon, it was never destroyed, that it would never again be inhabited. That's one of the reasons that I believe that Babylon will be rebuilt. And by the way, when you read 1 Peter, the last verse of 1 Peter, Peter dwelt at Babylon, according to the last verse of 1 Peter. Okay, notice, never to be inhabited. From Jeremiah we read, and it shall never again be inhabited or dwelt in from generation to generation. Revelation 18, thus will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence, and will not be found any longer. But notice, punished according to deeds. God says, repay her according to her work, according to all that she has done, so do to her. And then Revelation 18:6, pay her back, even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. Revelation 18:6. Now, her fall is illustrated in Jeremiah. You will tie a stone to it and throw it into the middle of the Euphrates and say, just so shall Babylon sink down and not rise again. Revelation 18 says, and a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. Revelation 18, verse 21. Now note, John and Jeremiah each described a city that is destroyed suddenly and completely. A city in full blossom is never plucked, is plucked up never to appear again. The destruction is sent from God for past deeds, and he's pictured as a rock sinking in a body of water, never to rise again. Notice the response to the fall of Babylon. flee from the midst of Babylon, Jeremiah 51, verse 6. When you get to Revelation 18, verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not that ye may not partake of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. We're just about out of time. Let me just say this. You and I are living in a mobile world. And any city that controls the commerce of the world, as Babylon will, according to the Word of God, certainly there will be believers who work there. That's where a lot of jobs will be. And there'll be a call for people to do all kinds of work. They'll need people. And I can just see American corporations sending certain high-level people to Babylon. And some of them are doubtless believers. And God has a call to them. Come out. Come out. Come out. And this is very important. You see, God's call to His own is to not get settled down in this world system, in this world. His call to His people is live for me. Now we all have to work. And many work for corporations that have worldwide operations. You see, but God calls His people and to hear the voice of God and to know when to move is very, very important. Well, our time's gone. Let's just pray together. Father, we just thank You now for the grace of God revealed in Christ Jesus the Lord. We thank You that You gave our Lord Jesus that He might deliver us from this present evil age. And we pray that as the age draws to a close, that we'll be aware of Thy voice in the Word of God, and that we won't be afraid to make decisions, because a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Hear us in these things, and enable us, our Father, to take Your word seriously, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen.